This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
Dementia is a disease that impacts the whole community. The statistics are actually a little shocking. It's the second leading cause of death in Australia. An estimated 450,000 are living with dementia. And of course, many of them are members of the LGBTIQ+ community. But accessing aged care services for our community can often be challenging at the best of times, let alone when a person is also dealing with dementia. Well, the Victorian Pride Centre is partnering with LifeView to put a spotlight on the challenges older LGBTIQ Victorians face. It'll include educational resources, open days, regular events, and running a specialist dementia cafe out of the Pride Centre itself. So, what's involved with the dementia cafe? I decided to find out by speaking to Madeline Gull from LifeView about their program.
What is LifeView?
LifeView is a private provider that provides services to 282 elderly people in a residential setting in various locations in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. So we provide residential care support to people who need that and can't live at home on their own any longer.
You've become involved with the Pride Centre. How did you come to be involved with them?
We are constantly looking ways to support the LGBTI community. And when we heard of the development plans for the Pride Centre, we thought it was a perfect opportunity to expand the way in which we do that. And look, it's extremely important that we are able to bring resources and knowledge together for the community. And, you know, we have an expertise in that aged care space. So it was a great opportunity and a way that we're able to continue to support the LGBTI community.
The program that you're looking at starting with, at least, is the Dementia Cafe. Can you tell me how that may end up working?
Sure. So we currently are running two dementia cafes within our existing business, but this one, the aim is to have it running out of Pride Centre, and particularly the focus for members of, obviously, the LGBTI community. But it will be accessible to members of the community. So it's generally for people living with dementia, they're still living in their community, and their chosen family or their carers. It's an opportunity to come together in a social setting where you feel safe and respected and understood. People living with dementia in the community tend to be more socially isolated, just because it's more difficult to navigate your way around, to what used to be rather normal settings. So it provides an outing that's in a safe space where people are respected and dementia is understood.
How does a dementia cafe work? So if I have a relative who has dementia and, you know, we need activities to do that are in a friendly environment, what happens at the cafe?
Normal things that happen at a cafe.
Okay.
It's an opportunity to, you know, it's just about that you might have the space laid out in a more dementia-friendly way,
yeah,
where wayfinding paths are more easily identifiable, where you are accepted for that. So if you go to a mainstream cafe and if you forget what you order or you can't identify the items, or you may order silly things like, you know, putting pepper in coffee for someone with dementia,
yeah,
you know, people in a mainstream cafe would look at that and sort of be raising eyebrows. But in a dementia cafe, the staff are trained and understand that and are able to assist those people to experience a cafe setting without that fear of ridicule, I guess. So it looks like a normal cafe. Mm-hmm. All the normal things that go on in a cafe occur. It's just that the people that are involved in that obviously trained and they understand and they know those cues.
Yeah.
And you would be visiting and dining with like-minded people. So it's a good opportunity for those chosen families or carers to also be able to have a sense of connection and network as well.
So it's sort of a safe, welcoming space that...
Yeah, it's a supportive space.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Such an interesting idea. LifeView has a rainbow tick, which is a pretty big process for an organization to go through. Mm-hmm. When did you guys get the rainbow tick?
2016 was the date that we first achieved that. So we started the process 12 months prior to that. Look, for us, it was a fairly seamless process. We were committed and had the buy-in from our director. We allocated designated resources to achieve that accreditation within a 12-month period. And we just, you know, worked at it and were committed to achieving that.
And what sort of things did you find when you were going through the process? Were there things that surprised you that you were doing that, you know, that you needed to change, or things that you did really well and it sort of reinforced that you guys were on the right track?
Look, I think for us it was critical, and for any organisation undertaking that sort of process, is that we already had a good cultural base to begin with. So a lot of that work on culture had been invested in previous years. So we knew that we would have the buy-in of our people because we already had a positive, sound culture to start with. Yes, there were things that we needed to change, you know, reviewing policies and procedures, looking at the way and the language that we used, asking set questions around, you know, just gender, male and female, all of those types of things. They obviously changed as a result of going through that process. But I think, you know, the overwhelming support that we had from our residents, you know, that was fantastic to see. And there was some concern around how will the residents that pre-exist with us, how will they respond to this? What will their thoughts be? So we did lots of consultation with them. We did not have one resident who said, no, this is not for me, or I don't think you should do this. You know, their overwhelming response was, well, we love living here. So why shouldn't everyone else have the right and feel safe to live here too? So, you know, that was fantastic that we had their support.
Yeah, it's a really remarkable sort of reception.
Yeah. Because the common myth out there, or the thought, is that, well, you know, these people are in their 80s and 90s and they haven't been around where that's been an accepted practice. Mm-hmm. What will they think? And, you know, will that end up being a negative for the organisation? But it certainly wasn't the case with us at all.
Yeah, it certainly...
And for those residents that were living with us, you know, it enabled them to have conversations like, oh, you know, my granddaughter is lesbian, or, you know, my nephew is gay. Mm-hmm. So it enabled them to have conversations and be able to be out and proud about their family members.
Well, it sounds like a really remarkable community that you've created.
Well, I think we underestimate the elderly, and we think that they haven't been exposed, or we get worried but there's absolutely no need to be.
In that process, what sort of challenges did you find that older LGBTIQ people were facing?
Are facing, yes. You know, fear of prejudice. We found that members of the LGBTI community in general often delay accessing services, or are reluctant to access services. Some of them are isolated. There's a lack of recognition of chosen family. You know, we've experienced that with people that have come to live with us, that especially that of the trans community, that their gender is not identified, and that all their paperwork is all in their previous male names. So that's it's a real challenge that the members of the LGBTI community are facing. And navigating their way through the system is difficult for anyone accessing aged care services, but more so, I believe, for the LGBTI community.
If you are a person who has dementia, or you have a family member or friend, or really any kind of loved one who has dementia, what are some good support or good resources for people to access?
Look, I think the best way in which you can support someone who's living with dementia is to educate yourself about the disease. It takes a lot of patience and understanding. And I think get yourself a good support network, you know, from organisations such as Dementia Australia. You can become part of a dementia-friendly community. Mm-hmm. you can become a dementia friend. And there you can access those services online through the Dementia Australia website. Some of the other resources that you can access, obviously the Pride Centre will be a great one when it's up and running. LifeView has a dementia practitioner as part of a resource that you know, we're happy to share and have people access. Switchboard, the National LGBTI Health Alliance, Bell's Ageing and Aged Care, you know, those types of resources are there. And I think that part of this partnership with the Pride Centre is about raising awareness of what is out there that people can access and assisting people to access those services. You know, we're obviously looking forward to the Pride Centre opening and being a part of that and being able to, you know, provide that support and education to the community and making accessibility of services a lot more seamless for them.
Yeah, it's especially important because the greater LGBTIQ plus community is generally fairly underserved or has low levels of access to specialist mm-hmm. care for a number of reasons.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Madeline Gall, thanks so much for your time today.
No, thank you, Ariane. It's been great to chat with you.
A pleasure.
That was Madeline Gall from LifeView.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.